You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome in to another edition of the Arrowhead Pride Rapid Reaction Show. I'm Steven Serta, joined as always by my guy, Rocky Magana. Rocky, after a weird start to the season, Chiefs defense looked like it was the worst in football. All of a sudden, it looks dumb. All of a sudden, it is giving the best offense in the sport all kinds of problems, putting all kinds of pressure on Dak Prescott. The secondary is playing absolutely lockdown defense, and they held the Dallas Cowboys to 9 points, their lowest point total of the season, held them out of the end zone. Your initial reaction to this, because it feels shocking. Like where we were a month ago compared to where we're at right now, this wasn't exactly like a thrilling offensive performance. But you have to be absolutely thrilled with the way the defense played in this game.
Listen, Dallas Cowboys were my Super Bowl pick just a couple weeks ago. I'm ecstatic right now. In the words of the immortal LL Cool J, don't call this a comeback because we've been here before, right? And I tell you what, man, you move Chris Jones inside and suddenly you start giving Rashad Fenton meaningful snaps in the secondary. And all of a sudden, the Chiefs look like a force. I mean, they look like the best press man coverage team in the NFL right now. For as much as I talked about how bad this defense was earlier in the year, they came out, they pulled themselves up off the canvas. Not to, use my own namesake too much, like a Rocky movie. They pulled themselves up off the canvas and came back slugging these last few weeks. And I mean, I'll eat my words. This looks like one of the best defenses in the NFL right now.
It's insane, right? It's insane. Borderline just doesn't make sense, right? You knew at the beginning of the season, and we've talked about it a lot on this particular show, that Chris Jones wasn't healthy. Frank Clark wasn't healthy. And Melvin Ingram didn't show up on the stat sheet, I don't believe, today. But Melvin Ingram has made a massive difference on that defensive line. He has made a massive difference for this Chiefs pass rush overall, to the point that this pass rush, all of a sudden, you're like, oh no, I don't want to play the Chiefs. That Chris Jones eats people alive. I don't want that guy, trying to get Big Macs for sacks for Chiefs Kingdom. I don't want that guy coming after me on Sunday. And again, it wasn't exactly a thrilling offensive performance. Obviously, we think that this team wins championships through offense, right? So we think that this team, they're going to win rings because of Patrick Mahomes and because of this offense and because of Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, and they got Clyde back. And so we'll definitely get into that and talk about how Clyde looked. But the story is the defense. The story is the defense going against the number one offense in the NFL that puts up points against everybody. I thought this was going to be 2018 Rams Chiefs. Like, I thought the Chiefs were going to have to drop 40 just to hang in this football game. And the defense said, we got this. We're going to go out and we're going to give Dak Prescott problems all day long. And we're going to blanket cover all of their wide receivers. We have to mention that Amari Cooper was not available in this game. And then CeeDee Lamb did not return in the second half after suffering a concussion on the Charvarius Ward interception. And so, obviously, that's a blow to this Dallas offense. They're not operating at 100% capacity. Their all-pro left tackle, Tyron Smith, did not play in this game, and he's been banged up all year. The Dak Prescott's numbers aren't as good when he does not play because he's that good of a left tackle. But all of that being said, this is still an offense that's the deepest offense in the NFL that you expect to put up points no matter who they're playing, no matter the personnel issues that they're facing. And this Chiefs defense straight up came out and looked dominant. Like, this was a month ago, 5 weeks ago, this was the worst defense in football. And we were talking about how you got to blow it up. It's over. Like, the window's over for this defensive unit and the way it's constructed. And all they've done over their four-game win streak is just, yeah, we weren't buying into any of that. You guys were jumping to conclusions. We have this little, you know, regular season start to the year slump every year. Then we kind of figure things out. Now it looks like we got one of the better secondaries in the NFL, and our pass rush is all of a sudden unstoppable. It speaks to what a weird NFL season it's been. But, man, teams are scared of the Chiefs right now. Teams are scared of the Chiefs because if they can play defense like that, we know they can put up points. They only put up 19 today, but we know that they can put up points when they need to. And so if they can play this kind of defense, it's a whole nother level of scared, in my opinion, that the rest of the NFL should be right now.
I mean, 100%. And I'm not too worried about the offense just because you saw when the offense needed to get first down to move the ball down the field to ice the game, they were able to eat some time off the clock. I mean, so I'm not too concerned. When the offense has to do it, the offense does it. The offense did enough today to win. I mean, Harrison Butker left 4 points on the field, you know. So really, we should have been looking at a 23-9 victory, which, I don't know, you get the score over 20, it looks a little bit better. But talking about, yes, Dallas Cowboys are missing some players, but I have a question for you, Steven. Would you like to see Michael Gallup or Cedric Wilson on the Chiefs team?
Yes.
Yes. Why? Because they're good football players. They still had good football players
Michael
on
Gallup,
the field.
Preferably, yeah. Michael Gallup is fantastic.
They had some wonderful football players on the field because they're a very deep team, and this defense still held them down, still dominated them. And I don't know if it's the chicken or the egg, if it's the fact that we were getting home with four pass rushers or the fact that we were able to hold down the outside that allowed the four pass rushers to get home. But everything worked in unison. When we blitzed, the secondary held up long enough to let the guys get there. When we blitzed four, those four guys got home and allowed the secondary to make plays on the ball. I mean, we probably should have had at least one more interception in this game for the amount of bad balls that the defense forced Dak to throw. I mean, this was just like from beginning to end, this was a clinic by Steve Spagnuolo's defense. And this is honestly the game that I think a lot of us have been waiting for to make us believers. This is what we needed to see.
Well, and so this is the game where I talked about it this week for Arrowhead Pride, where I was like, for the first time in the Mahomes era, in my opinion, this regular season matchup means more for the Kansas City Chiefs than it does for the Dallas Cowboys. And you know, an NFC regular season matchup doesn't really have that many playoff implications, but they needed this game. They needed this performance because of the way that they started the season and all of the question marks that we had about them. And, oh, you know, you beat the Packers, but it was with Jordan Love. You beat the New York Giants, and they're just not a good football team. And, you know, the Las Vegas Raiders, who lost the Cincinnati Bengals today, have been through all kinds of issues off the field. And it's hard to even quantify everything that the Raiders have gone through as a team this season. And so all that stuff was explainable in circumstance, right? Like, you know, you can only play who's on your schedule. What matters is that you win. This was the game where I was saying, this is where we'll learn something about this football team. This is where we'll find out if this team is really a Super Bowl contender. And they dominated from start to finish. Like, yeah, you would have liked to have seen them put up a few more points, but the fact that it was just, we're going to get out ahead of this thing to start the football game, and we're never going to look back. Andy Reid's offensive scripts have been fantastic. Fantastic. As soon as we started questioning Andy Reid and the way this offense was struggling and the way they were, it seemed like they weren't adjusting their game plan to what defenses were allowing them. Andy dusts off the old Alex Smith playbook, says, okay, we'll open the football game against the number one scoring offense in the NFL. and we'll run it on back-to-back plays with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who is returning from injured reserve. And all of a sudden, this offense isn't, you know, killing you with the deep ball the way that they used to. But, man, they're efficient, and they can score when they need to. And those opening play scripts that Andy's been dialing up have just been perfect. So it's like, when those are that locked in from Andy Reid, you're already looking at it like, okay, well, we're not going to be able to stop them for like their first two series, probably. So worst case scenario, we're looking at like a 14-0 hole. And then, oh, by the way, their pass rush is really good now, and their secondary is really good. Like, you have to totally change your perspective on this early season Chiefs team, because they're totally different now. Like, a month removed from their start to the season, this is a totally different football team in a strange, strange year of NFL football, where I think we still have absolutely no idea who the best team in the league is. Every team has got a bad loss on their resume so far this year. And all of a sudden, the two-time defending AFC champion Kansas City Chiefs are coming out of nowhere looking like they can play defense like a top 10 unit in the NFL. And you got to worry about that guy named Patrick Mahomes, who can put up points in the blink of an eye when he needs to.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, there's a lot to be said about, you know, Andy Reid came out with a brilliant script, like you said, and the Chiefs were playing from in front all day long. And when the Chiefs needed a play, they seemed to be able to find it. I got to think a little bit the reason why I mean, this is just my opinion, but Andy Reid's been known in the past to play things a little bit close to the vest. And if he doesn't have to pull certain plays out of his pocket, he's going to keep them in his pocket for later in the year. I feel like Andy Reid trusted his defense today, and he knew that this game was in hand. If it came down to two-minute drill and the Chiefs needed a score to win the game, I have every faith that Andy Reid would have pulled something out of his pocket today. But the Chiefs didn't need to. And I said earlier in the year that, you know, the Chiefs weren't a good team, because they say that like good teams beat bad teams. But I said, no, good teams beat good teams. And this team beat a good team today. You don't beat a good team by 21 points. This is the sort of game you have when you beat a good team. This is a dominant win over as good of a team as for as good a team as the Cowboys are. The defense dominated the Cowboys offense today. This is as close to a dominant win as you're going to get against this good of a Cowboys team. So you got to feel very good about today's win.
And I'm seeing a lot of people in the comments right now saying like, Andy didn't even call a good game. It was all about the Chiefs defense. See, I disagree with that. I thought Andy was brilliant on their first few series. And then after that, yeah, they started to slow down a little bit, but they weren't really pushing it. And I think part of that is because of their turnover problems this season, where, like you just mentioned, Rocky, the defense is playing so good. It felt like Andy, once they started getting easy, or they stopped getting easy stuff, like Andy kind of took his foot off the gas a little bit and said, okay, well, we're just going to do what we do. We're going to try to get first downs, and hopefully we get touchdowns, but we'll settle for field goals if we need them to, because the defense is playing lights out right now. And it felt like I don't think that Andy called a bad game. I think Andy said, I'm not going to allow our offense to hurt us today in this game. They're not going to get cheap points off of turnovers. And they almost did. But I think that, yes, you want to see this Chiefs offense put up points. Absolutely. And the Dallas Cowboys defense isn't a defense that, you know, should really hold you to 19 points. Like, they can create turnovers and stuff, but they give up a ton of yards. And so you should have been able to move the ball a little bit better against them. But I think that was the game plan. I think the game plan was play defense and keep the ball out of Dak Prescott's hands. And then when Dak Prescott was on the football field, they were just putting pressure on him all day. They were just giving him problems all day. And the secondary was fantastic. Legarius Sneed, we got to talk about that. This show's been all over the place so far. I'm sorry. I'm just excited about the win, because we're headed into a bye with the Kansas City Chiefs at 7-4, atop the AFC West. And it's just such a different vibe than where we were early in the season. You know, so I'm excited about that. But Legarius Sneed and Charvarius Ward have been playing fantastic recently, and they were both spectacular today. They were both looking like shutdown type of corners, like blanketing these Cowboys wide receivers. And I understand that Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb not coming back in the second half, that's a big blow to that offense. But this is still a very talented offense, a very deep offense, one of the deepest in the NFL. And they did everything you asked them to do today. And you can't – the Chiefs have gotten more than they ever possibly could have dreamed in Charvarius Ward. And L'Jarius Sneed just looks like he is just a flat-out playmaker for this defense.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, the man, L'Jarius Sneed looked like an absolute one-man wrecking force on the football field today. And this is the best game I've seen Ward play in probably 3 years. I mean, and I – you know, one of the big complaints against this Chiefs defense was they would meet people at the point of attack, then they get driven backwards. Today, they were meeting people at the point of attack, and they were driving, you know, Ezekiel Elliott or the wide receivers or whoever it was that they met at the point of attack, and they were driving them backwards, and they were wrapping them up for tackles for a loss. This is some of the best tackling I've seen out of this defense in recent memory. I mean, there was one play in particular where it was a wide receiver bubble screen. I think it was to Michael Gallup. I could be mistaken, but Sneed fought off of his block, or he fought off of the block to Gallup, I think, to get to Wilson. But he threw Gallup out of the way and shed him and made a tackle for a loss. And it's one of the most impressive defensive plays I've seen all year out of any team. I mean, Sneed out there today, he looks like an all-pro caliber player. And he looks like a man on a mission. He looks comfortable, and he looks like he's finally found like some swag. You know, he got his swagger back. Yeah, I don't know if he ever lost it, but Sneed got his swagger back.
Yeah, would I have liked to have seen this be like the true offensive shootout that I thought it was going to be? Sure. That's more entertaining. That's a more thrilling football game. There's a reason that 2018 Chiefs-Rams game is like a game that I'll never forget because of how insane it was. And that's what I was hoping we were going to get in this game. But no matter what it wound up being, you got to be thrilled that they won, and they won in dominating fashion. They just kept the best offense in football out of the end zone for four quarters. And so any questions that you had about this defense, the competition, you know, we really doubt them. It was Washington. It was New York. It was a Raiders team that isn't the same as the one that started the season. And it was a Packers team with Jordan Love. This defense can make plays now. And you should be excited about that compared to where we were in the first 4 weeks of the season. Like, this defense can give you some problems, and it starts with the addition of Melvin Ingram. Like, the fact that the Pittsburgh Steelers were willing to trade to Kansas City after even stating that we didn't want to trade him to a team in the AFC, and they did it anyways because nobody seemed interested. Melvin Ingram has made such a huge difference for this front. Jaron Reed, again, for the second week in a row, has life. Has a pulse and is making plays for this defense. Chris Jones, absolutely dominant. 3.5 sacks, was just wreaking havoc on that offensive line all day long. Frank Clark looked good again. Like, this pass rush is a legitimate problem. And if this secondary continues to play like this, I think you have to have confidence in this defense moving forward. Like, I think that we can totally put the start of the season behind us right now, is the way that it feels, right?
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, the addition of Melvin Ingram, listen, Melvin Ingram still got juice in his legs. Like, he's not done by any means. But the biggest thing that Melvin Ingram did was that he put a quality person on the outside across from Frank Clark and allowed Chris Jones to move inside, where he's just an absolute monster. And Chris Jones being inside freed up Jaron Reed inside. You know, it's a domino effect on this front four. And the addition of Melvin Ingram just almost feels just like you clicked in that last puzzle piece that just knocked over the other dominoes and just sent them going. And I think that it can't be overstated that the fact that, you know, Juan Thornhill has been playing a lot of snaps recently, and Dan Sorensen looks a lot better as a role player than somebody who's playing, you know, playing in the base defense. I mean, Anthony Hitchens hasn't been having his best year, but Anthony Hitchens coming back puts Ben Neiman into a role player situation. And suddenly you have Sorensen and Neiman being more role players. And then you have, you know, Hitchens, Gay, and Bolton as your three linebackers. And then you have Matthew and Thornhill back there, and you got playmakers on the field, you know, and the guys who could be put in those situational roles where they can excel, they do. And they look okay doing it.
Yeah, and to put it in perspective, like, just how dominant their pass rush was today against one of the best offensive lines in football and one of the best offenses in football. They sacked Dak Prescott 5 times. It's the most times Dak Prescott has been sacked in a game since 2018. So it's not easy to sack Dak Prescott 5 times in a game, and they did it today. And Chris Jones just went absolutely nuts. Like, headed into a bye, winners of 4 in a row, sitting atop the division with the way this season started, you can't feel better about them right now. Like, you simply can't. Like, in my opinion, the Cowboys, when they are 100% healthy, I think are the best team in the NFC right now. Mm-hmm. And we've got questions with, I think there's a case to be made for Tampa Bay having the best overall roster, but they've dealt with so many injuries this year that they've got back-to-back bad losses. And the Rams have back-to-back losses, and they've started to kind of struggle compared to where they were. Arizona, we don't know what's going on with Kyler Murray, and the Packers won today, but the Packers lost today, and the Packers just have not been, since Aaron Rodgers came back, they've been kind of struggling, and Aaron Rodgers is dealing with a pretty severe toe injury right now that saw him leave that game a little bit early before halftime, and he talked about it after the game saying he was really struggling. So it's a weird NFL season, but this door is still wide open for the Kansas City Chiefs to be the best team in football, which is crazy when you consider where we were at a month ago. And so no matter how they got there, they're there right now, right? They're back in the mix now. And this was the only outcome for this game that we wanted, right? Because if you lose this football game, it's okay, well, the last month of Chiefs football wasn't really for real. They finally played a good team who could put up points against them, and they really struggled. But this outcome says, okay, well, now, for the second consecutive week, in my opinion, the Chiefs might have played their best overall game. Like, last week, I thought it was their best overall team win, where offense, special teams, defense all worked the best I've seen them work all season long. Now, the offense left some stuff on the table, and you would have liked to have seen them put up a few more points in this game, but the special teams was great. That pooch punt, can we talk about that for a second? And then the defense was spectacular. So when you get 2 out of 3, I'll take that too, because that's a lot better than where we were a month ago. Like, everything that they've done, especially in the last 2 weeks, says that they are absolutely trending in the right direction with an NFL that still feels totally wide open right now. Like, the Titans got blown out by the Texans today. Nobody in the NFL right now wants to be the best team in the NFL, and they're leaving the door wide open for the Kansas City Chiefs to say, okay, well, we've been there. We'll do it again if nobody else wants to do it.
I mean, 100%. The Chiefs came out to start the year, and they said, hey, NFL, like, listen, put us down. Like, put us out of our misery. We didn't get off to a good start. And the NFL had a chance to close the door on the Chiefs and say, you guys are done for this year, and they failed to do so for whatever reason, you know. And now that they've let the Chiefs linger around long enough that they've gotten healthy, and now they're playing good football, and they figured out some of their issues on defense. And now like you said, it's wide open. Like, you should have put the Chiefs down when you had the chance, and you didn't do it. You didn't stomp on their throats. You let them linger around, and now you're going to pay for it down the stretch, because they're playing, what, we still have 4 division games left, and we're leading the division. I don't have any faith that the Titans are going to close this out down the stretch for the first overall seed. And even if we don't get the first overall seed, I think the Chiefs are the team in the AFC right now that you don't want to see. And you can say everything you want to say about the Chiefs that didn't play a perfect offensive game plan today, but listen, Andy Reid is he's in the top 5 winningest coaches in NFL history. You don't luck your way into that. He has a great feel for the game. He knows what sort of contest he's involved in. And to your point earlier, I do think he took his foot off the gas a little bit in the game and started playing a little closer to the vest. And I think that was the right move in this game. I think Andy Reid said, I do this and I can outlast them. My defense can outlast this offense, and we can walk out of here with a victory today. And at the end of the day, that's all I care about.
Yeah, it's not the type of play that's ever going to win you like style points. And I totally agree that Andy has done it a little bit too much in the past. But if you're complaining about it right now, like, Andy did that with Alex, right? We haven't really seen him do that with Mahomes as much, and the Chiefs have put up a lot of points and managed to have big leads in a lot of football games because they've been a really hard offense to stop for a really long time now. But I think that was the way to play this game, and it was just keep the ball away from their offense. Don't give them any easy points by having bad turnovers. And we saw another bad turnover where, you know, the ball was a little bit behind Travis Kelce, but Kelce's Kelce, and you got to catch that. And it wound up getting intercepted because it just deflected off of his shoulder pad. Like, but that's kind of been the thing all year. And I think that was kind of Andy's approach to this game was just, this offense is too good. I don't care who's playing or who's not playing. We just got to keep the ball away from them as long as we possibly can. And it obviously worked because the Chiefs walked out of this thing with another win. I do want to talk about Clyde Edwards-Helaire real quick. You know, first game action and a long time since going on IR with an injury. And him and Darryl were both kind of splitting touches, but they used Clyde right out of the gate. And he wound up having, like, I think 12 carries. I still would really like to see them use Clyde in the passing game. He only had two targets, had two catches. Darryl still had more targets than him in this game. And I think that's probably just the way that they're going to do this thing moving forward. But I have to imagine, and Darryl, for as spectacular as he was last week, having over 100 receiving yards, and he did his job again today in a kind of split backfield approach with Clyde. I just want to see Clyde in the passing game. Like, can we just see what that looks like, please? Please just give me one Clyde game where he gets like eight targets, and let's see what the total looks like at the end of the game. Because I have to imagine Clyde, you give him some of those looks that you gave Darryl last week, Clyde can be productive with that, right? Like he can turn that into big time numbers. They just refuse to use him like that. And that's my biggest complaint, I think, coming out of this game offensively.
Oh, 100%. And I mean, Joe Burrow got a national championship dumping the ball off to Clyde. I mean, obviously, yeah, he had Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson as well. But I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was a huge part of that offense, especially in the passing game back at LSU. And that was one of his strengths that they said, you know, when he came out of college was, you know, he's sure-handed, great in the passing game. And for some reason, the Chiefs just seem like they have an aversion to using him in the passing game. And I thought for sure, all right, Darryl Williams had a 100-yard receiving game last week. Clyde's coming back. They're going to get Clyde involved in the passing game. And listen, it is what it is. I would love to see Clyde involved in the passing game. I think he could excel there. I think that that's where you really start to get some value from his draft position, that, you know, taking him in the first round. But that being said, listen, if they're going to get the same production out of Darryl Williams in the passing game, I don't know. It's 6-1, you know, at that point, in my opinion. I would love to see it, but it just doesn't seem to be in the cards at this point.
Yeah, and it's particularly frustrating where, you know, we're seeing them. Tyreek Hill has essentially become a possession wide receiver at this point, where he's still getting tons of targets. He's still getting tons of catches. They're just not the bombs that we're used to. And Travis Kelce is still kind of doing Travis Kelce things. Maybe you're a little bit disappointed in his production this season, but he's still the best tight end in football. And his numbers have just been so insane that he's having a slightly down year. And you're like, oh, well, now Travis Kelce is just the best tight end in football instead of like just one of the simply best offensive weapons in the game. And somebody else has to be that third option, right? And I would love for that to be Clyde in the passing game, because I think we can say it's not going to be Mecole Hardman. Byron Pringle is probably your second best wide receiver right now. And, you know, Josh Gordon seemed a little bit more involved today, but he had a bad drop, and then he had wound up finishing the game with one catch. And so those just aren't the guys. And Clyde's the guy that you drafted in the first round, who's still young, who you're still going to rely on to be your lead running back. And so that guy needs to be your third option, right? Like, when they're not allowing you to get big chunk plays from Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, okay, let's design screen them. Let's get big chunk plays that way, like we have in the past, like we did last week against the Raiders with Darryl. I have to believe that Clyde is capable of doing that as well and becoming your true, like, third option in this offensive passing game.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think if you took Mecole Hardman's manufactured touches and manufactured those to Clyde instead, that you would get him rolling and you'd probably feel a lot better about it. I mean, I think that he would, it would, his running game would play off of the passing game and they would, you know, complement one another a lot better than, you know, yeah, you manufacture 2 to 3 plays a game to Hardman to try to get him going and then he drops the next pass. Clyde needs to be the third option. If I'm going to get picky about today's game, it is part of the fact that they need to get Clyde more involved in the passing game. Cause it seems to me like as far as the hierarchy of who they look for, it goes Hardman, then Gordon, then Pringle, then Robinson, then Blake Bell, then Noah Gay, then Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And that just does not make any sense to me at this point. You know, yeah. Like you got to get him more involved in the passing game. He's like I don't know what he did to make Andy think that he can't catch the ball, but at some point you just got it. You got to manufacture a few touches to him and just get him going in the passing game.
Well, and we didn't really see it manifest this week, but I think it is going to manifest down the line. And we saw glimpses of it against the Las Vegas Raiders, but. This kind of new Chiefs offense where, okay, we're going to take what you give us, where we're going to short intermediate route you to death. We're going to run the football straight ahead because that's what our offensive line is good at. And we just won't take deep shots now. And we saw them kind of hit a couple of deep shots last week, but they left points on the table. Patrick Mahomes missed Tyreek Hill a couple of times downfield when he was open and could have had like a 60-yard touchdown or something like that. And we didn't see it manifest today, but I think that stuff is coming, right? Like, it feels like they're really close to putting that together too, because if defenses are going to start changing things up and say, okay, well, we got to play the run against them now. We got to slow that down. We got to slow down the short stuff now. That's going to open things up again downfield, and the Chiefs are going to be able to exploit that. So I hope they take this bye week, sitting atop the AFC West at 7-4. I want them to take this bye week to figure out, okay, how can we install these game plans? And then the long ball is going to be our fourth quarter kill shot, like Derrick Henry for the Titans. Like when Derrick Henry is, you know, fourth quarter, when those defenses are tired and beat up, we're just going to feed Derrick Henry. And that's when Derrick Henry breaks off 65-yard touchdowns. I think that's what the long ball can become for the Kansas City Chiefs offense. And so over the bye week, Andy, please, if you happen to listen to the Arrowhead Pride Rapid Reaction Show, spend some time figuring out how we can install the deep ball into the late game process of the offense, because I think it's going to be there. And I think they're going to have opportunities to connect on those again. And I'm really excited to see that part of the offense, because this part of the offense isn't exactly as much fun as we're used to, but just win football games. We don't care about the regular season in Kansas City. We care about Super Bowls now.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, Steven, don't you know Andy's saving the long ball for the playoffs? Everything he's doing right now, he's drawing in the defenses, making them think that we play underneath game now, and then come playoff time, He's gonna bust out an entire new package that's gonna go over the top and it's gonna light things up, you know, and it's gonna bring it back. I would like to think that's true. I don't know if that's actually true, but yes, I would like to see them stretch the field a little bit more. But right now, they're winning football games, doing what's working, taking what we said for a long time. Just take what the defense is giving you. Take what the defense is giving you. That's what they're doing right now. So. As long as it's working, as long as we're putting up W's, I got zero complaints out of me right now.
Yeah, the Buffalo Bills lost another game today, yeah. And the Ravens just escaped a loss to the Chicago Bears without Lamar Jackson. And I, you know, you have to assume Lamar Jackson's going to be back. He was out this week because of an illness. So the AFC still feels wide open, and it still feels like even after all of the improvements that the Chiefs have gone through over the last month, it still feels like there's another gear offensively mm-hmm. that this thing can go to. And the defense is playing at the highest level it's played all year long. They look absolutely dominant. And assuming that they can keep that up, if this offense takes this thing to another level, nobody's going to want to see the Chiefs in the AFC playoffs. No. Absolutely nobody. No. And it just seems wide open. So happy Thanksgiving, everybody. As we turn towards week 12, the Chiefs head into a bye, sitting atop the AFC West at 7-4, winners of four in a row, and a big win over one of the best teams in the NFL this season in the Dallas Cowboys. So everybody enjoy the Thanksgiving break and enjoy the bye week. Take your time, set your fantasy lineups, just enjoy some football because you don't got to worry about the Chiefs playing. Everybody should feel good about this one, and everybody should feel good about the direction that the Chiefs are headed in right now. So if you can, we ask that you please follow Rocky Magana on Twitter. You can follow me if you want as well. Please make sure you subscribe, rate, and review everything that we are doing at the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network. We're in the 5-star business, so if you could be as kind to leave a 5-star review, we would very much appreciate it. And Pete Sweeney will actually read those on the Arrowhead Pride Editor Show each and every week, so make sure you do that. We've got kind of a weird week coming up for you guys at Arrowhead Pride, headed into the bye. We want to give our guys a good Thanksgiving and take a little bit of a bye week ourselves. We're still going to have plenty of content for you at arrowheadpride.com, and we'll still have some stuff for you on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network, but it's going to be a little bit lighter of the week. So make sure that you check out the Arrowhead Pride Rapid Reaction Show. If you are listening on the podcast page, we will have the Chiefs postgame press conferences immediately following the show. And then tomorrow, make sure you're on the lookout for our newest edition of the Arrowhead Drive and Out of Structure with Ron Kopp and Matt Sagner, breaking down the entire Chiefs win over the Dallas Cowboys. We will have that for you tomorrow afternoon, so make sure you have sort of locked in. Rocky, happy Thanksgiving. We're atop the AFC West. Let's enjoy it. Let's take a little bit of time off. Get ready for the playoff push here in Kansas City.
Heck yeah, be good to each other. Everybody, love your family, love the Chiefs, love Kansas City. Just spread the love this Thanksgiving week, everybody. Have a great week.
We'll talk to you guys soon.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The Kansas City Chiefs improved to 7-4 on the season with a 19-9 victory over the Dallas Cowboys. As we promised, we do have each and every postgame press conference after their big win. We'll start off with Andy Reid, followed by Patrick Mahomes. Then we'll hear from Chris Jones and running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
And we'll just see. We'll get him an MRI and check out. And then Fenton landed on his knee, and we'll get an MRI on that tomorrow. The crowd was phenomenal. You know, there was a lot of blue in there, and we didn't hear them. And so my hat goes off to the red. It was a beautiful thing. Defensively, what a game. What a game. I mean, that's the number one offense in the National Football League. And I just thought our defense brought it every snap against in particular, our defensive line, in particular, against a heck of an offensive line. So I'm proud of the guys for that. And Frank kind of started off with a strip sack, but five takeaways is great. Four sacks by Chris Jones. I mean, I can't say enough. You know, Charvarius and Snead and Fenton. I mean, 21 jumps in and does a heck of a job. I mean, just all Willie Gay had a couple nice plays in there. And I could probably go through all of them. They all did a nice job. Offensively, we had some ups and downs. Started off right. Had a couple nice drives. And actually, the one that was great was the last drive, where we had to chew some time up, get them to use their timeouts. Even though we didn't score on it, it put them in a big-time bind. And then Tobe had the had the pooch kick, and Bucker did a nice job with it, of getting it down there. And very seldom do you see a punter covering and an offensive guard covering, but we practice it every week, and you know, that's how you practice it right there. They executed it perfect. So good to have 25 back. Yeah, Clyde played well and just stayed aggressive, covered the ball in traffic, was patient, all the things you need to be to make the thing work, trusted his O-line. Darrell had another nice game when he filled in, both in the pass and the run game. So, and Kelsey, Tyreek, Pat, had some beautiful throws too. So, listen, all in all, this is a good football team we played, and that's a heck of a win. Before I turn it over, just happy Thanksgiving to you guys and to our fans. We appreciate everything. So, all right, time's yours. Yeah, so I should have mentioned that because he played well. He had surgery on that knee at one time, and his knee swelled up overnight, which is a little unusual, but it's done that in the offseason. It hadn't done it during the season, but my hat goes off to him letting us know when he got up and getting in here and getting treatment done and then wanting to play. That's the next thing. I mean, he was in here for hours getting treatment, so... the kid he's an amazing kid. And, the fact that he was out there doing what he did was likewise amazing. Well, Rick wouldn't have, and our docs wouldn't have let him play if that was the case, but they felt like he'd be safe playing. I mean, safe as you can be playing football, but, he could still run, so they were able to get some of that swelling out. So that was important.
Before the game, he didn't even go through the introductions. He just came over to the bench. He went over and had a little chat with him. What was that?
Yeah, just get off your leg and sit there for a little bit, chill out. He went through warm ups and did everything, and just let him get right. And he's a tough kid, man. My hat goes off to that kid. He is a Badger, right? I mean, tough.
Would you consider this a statement win by your team, and especially with the defense with the leaders? And also, what's your message to your players going to the final?
Yeah. So you see how every week is like crazy in this league. So I'm not sure there any statement. There's not a lot of consistency going on right now, amongst the NFL here. So I mean, every week is a big time challenge. And I'm talking about wins and losses are consistent. There's these ups and downs, and teams are favored, and then they get beat. I mean, it's crazy. So it's what the league strived for, parity in this league. And I think they've done a great job with that. Every town, every city has an opportunity to win football games. That's a great thing. And we're no different. So we've got to just keep our nose to it and bear down as we go, take each game as it comes. We haven't proven anything yet. You can talk about all of it after the season. Go find an island and go lay around and tell everybody about it. But right now, not so much, man. Yeah, make sure you take care of yourselves.
Andy, what's different about the pass rush now that it's more productive than it was earlier in the season?
To get 24 in there, I think is a nice thing. Nice addition. He brings a certain energy to the group, a veteran, player. All the guys respected him, welcomed him in. Not that he's playing every snap, but he's playing quite a bit. And, he's strong at the point and does some nice things. But I think it upped everybody's game. you know, that's what I think happened. And guys were back, were healthy there, and that matters when you can line up that lineup that we're doing. And I don't want to slight Jerron Reed. I mean, I've mentioned him before, and he's playing good football right now. And just doing a nice job. He's kind of settled into the defense, and, you know, we know him better. He knows us better, and he's doing a nice job for us. So, you know, and you watch 55, 95, you watch all these guys do it, 51, 97. I mean, all these guys, 98 contribute, you know, you just start going through these numbers. 91 is playing good football, naughty, you know, so my hat goes off to them. They've been working their tail off for it.
Coach, two quick questions before you. What was your message to Edwards-Helaire after that taunting penalty, and where is the Preston Road trophy now?
Well, it's at Clark's house. yeah, so that's kind of two different sides of things. But Herbie, yeah, I talked to him. Yeah, and you can't point, you can't do anything. You know, you get excited and you do something. And we had another one on our young right guard, man. So you can't do, you can't talk, you can't, you know. There's some restrictions now. And if you cross those lines, they're going to get you. And listen, the union was part of that. They agreed to all this. So it's, you know, you'd be better off just going playing football and celebrate with your teammates and not mess around with the other team.
Andy, obviously, to open the season, you guys gave Chris the opportunity to play on the edge. He's back on the inside. And he's had his best days.
Yeah, we again, we mixed him up a little bit today, and but he's done. I mean, the last, I didn't even mention the last play where he tipped the ball. You know, legit, you know, we end up with a nice interception. So it's all, he's good either place. He's a good football player. So, I mean, either place, when he gears it up, he's tough to stop.
It seems like the naked eye anyway.
Yeah, we're probably, you know, fundamentally we're probably playing better. I think the way training camps are now, and you know, the way preseasons are, that whole deal takes you a little bit of time to kind of get in the swing. So I think you probably see that around the league. And now that they're warmed up and going, I think, you know, it gets better. So, but they've worked, our guys have worked extremely hard on the fundamentals and as much tackling as you can do here. On dummies and so on, you know, rallying to the ball, I think helps. Narrowing down running lanes helps. All those things. Yeah. So they've had to work for this, and I think when you have to really work for something and bear down, I think it's, you enjoy it a little bit more. And you're not resting on what happened before, but you've earned this right here, you know, with the old knot in the stomach and the ups and downs. And, you know, so you earn every one of these. And if you, you know, I think that's where we're at right now. They like each other. They're getting to know each other better. And I think they like each other. And, yeah, so playing hard for one another.
Hey, in terms of your secondary, they've just played really well over the last month. Do you think they contribute to that, and just the play with Darius and Jabari for obviously getting the interception?
Yeah, it's good to have him back healthy, right? Get all these guys back in there and going. So we were kind of one guy in, one guy out, and that's the whole deal. And then the Badger kind of helps bring it all together with his leadership, and that helps. You know, he felt obligated to be out there and with his guys, and you know, you start getting that type of feeling, and that's a good thing. So, but they've all upped their game. They've worked hard at it, Nate. You know.
A little fun, and then we'll get to football. I promise. We'll get a lot of Thanksgiving potlucks this week. Or what dish are you bringing
against? I'm probably cooking it now. I mean, so I'll be finding a big turkey and we'll do the whole thing. So I'm excited that I can contribute both ways.
You said we haven't really proven anything, I guess that's a message to the rest of the league. But maybe it's possible that you all have proven to yourself inside the locker room that, hey, it can be ugly, but we can still get wins for the four straight going to the final
year. Yeah, so I think winning in this league is so hard. I mean, that's not an easy thing to do. I think teams are better than they've ever been, and that's why you're seeing what you're seeing. So there's great competition, and you've got to work for it every week. And so we're going to enjoy this. We're going to enjoy the win, but we're also going to know that we got to step back on the pedal here and get ourselves ready another week. Yeah, they're flying around and they're working well together, rallying to the ball, getting great rush. We're doing a good job with our gap responsibility. Linebackers, I haven't mentioned Hitch. His leadership is so valuable. You know, when he's healthy and that leadership isn't, he's in that position, man alive. And now he can eat free when he goes home to Dallas in the offseason.
These first couple of years, it's just kind of seemed like it. What does it say about him and the way that he responded to some of these
issues? Yeah, listen, he's pushed through the ups and downs, you know, and not that everything was perfect. It's never going to be perfect against a good team. So, but he sure did some nice things. And that's beautiful throws today. And then his leadership is so valuable. He doesn't – there's not a lot of hanging head there. He's going, hey, we're on to the next one. Let's go. You know, so he's a positive influence on a lot of people there.
Last one, Coach, back here. Dick Vermeil said one time, when a team's winning, that being a head coach is going to be pretty easy. Just keep going. But when things go rough, he says that's where you really earn it. Can you talk about the job that you and your staff have done with the leadership to turn this was an ugly football team at that time. They're already there.
Yeah, the guys never hung their head. The coaches, I mean, they just kept trying to find a way to use the strengths of the players and that they have. Whether somebody was hurt or not hurt, the next guy up, and they utilize the strength of those players to do it. And so, you know, you earn a right to make this one of the bigger games today in the National Football League. I'm saying before the game started, there were a lot of eyes on this game. And so two good football teams playing each other, and this was a little bit of a culmination of their perseverance there. So it's very easy to hang your head. It's tough to power through it. And maybe at times you have to say, you know what, I got to do a little better right here.
And sort of flipping that switch from trying to score to trying to burn some clock. Is that a tough thing to do in that situation, or are you guys pretty comfortable when it comes to those situations?
Yeah, luckily enough, we've been in those situations a couple times now. So we've kind of figured out a way to do that. I made the one bad decision, kind of trying to make the throw to Pringle there. They played it well. But other than that, I thought we ran the ball well when we needed to run the ball. And made plays happen. And at the end of games, it comes down to that. When the defense is playing like they're playing to grind out drives at the end of games to kind of kill the clock down, those are big drives that you'll need at the end of the year.
You mentioned running the ball well. In your opinion, how did Clyde Edwards-Helaire look as his first game back? Five straight games he's missed, and now he's back in the mix.
Yeah, I mean, he rolled, man. I mean, that was a good defensive front, a good defense, and he was finding little creases here and there to make some stuff happen. And I thought the offensive line did a great job getting them those windows, and so he'll keep incorporating them more and more. And I mean, he looked healthy, so I mean, it's glad to have him back. So hopefully, we can find a way to throw him some passes too. He's pretty good. He's pretty good out of the back foot as well. Yeah, I mean, he's a special player. I mean, to be that good of a linebacker and then be able to play defensive end, there's not a lot of guys like that in this league. And he has a high motor. I mean, chasing down on that sack, and then a strip sack, and then he the whole game, he was in there the whole time battling. And like I said, they have great players in that defense, and I thought our guys did a great job, especially early, and then we battled through at the end of the game.
What stands out to you, Patrick, about how much better the defense is playing and
Yeah, I mean, I think the last – I mean, ever since pretty much the second half of the Tennessee game, those guys have been playing better. It got lost because the offense wasn't playing very well, that we were winning games because of the defense, and so people were so used to our offense kind of going out there and putting up these numbers. But I would say it every week when I was right here at the podium, like, don't lose how good our defense is playing. And to go up against an offense like that, that has put up so many yards, so many scores and touchdowns, and then to shut it down, I mean, that's impressive. And so for us as offense, when you get in these kind of funks that we kind of did in that second half, we know if we just can just grind it out, get field goals, try to find a way to get a touchdown, that we're going to win the football game.
Patrick, right there. Patrick.
It's a heck of a stat. I didn't know that, but I mean, it's part of the game. I've been lucky enough that I've had these turnover-worthy plays that haven't got picked off too. So I think you just go out, you go and play. Interception happens, you move on to the next play, and that's how I've always rolled. And I'm gonna keep firing. I mean, when you're firing to a guy like Travis Kelce, I mean, he doesn't drop the football. I mean, if I put the ball a little bit out in front of him, he probably makes that catch and splits a couple people. So it's a combination of two things. It's me not putting it in the right spot, and then it just getting unlucky there at the end. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited about it because we're still not playing our best football, and we're sitting here 7-4, at least a half game up on the AFC West. And you go into the bye week knowing you're going to play a lot of divisional opponents coming up. So everything's right in front of us. We can be better, especially offensively. The defense can continue to get better and better each and every week. And to be where we started, to where we're at now, and still not even playing our best football, I would take that every time.
Patrick, a learning moment for Trey Smith. What was your message for him when he came off the field after that season?
Yeah, I mean, he's like the quietest guy, so I don't know how he ended up saying something that got him in trouble. But, you have to kind of teach him that you can't – I mean, if you're going to say something, say it under your breath at least. Don't let anyone hear it. But you love having the mentality that he has, that he wants to be great. He wants to continue to be – I think he's probably mad at himself as much as he was mad at anything else. For him, he'll learn from that. I mean, I highly doubt it happens again. But, I mean, I want him finishing every single play and playing the way he's played this entire season. Not necessarily. I mean, we're just going to take it week by week. We're going to get better and better each and every week this year. We lost some games close early that we probably should have won if we had found ways to finish. And then we took some big lumps and had some big losses that we don't usually have here. But I think you have those leaders in this room that we kind of went back to the drawing board, went back to the fundamentals, and decided to take it week by week, go through the process, trust in the coaching staff, and we're sitting here now with everything in front of us. So we just got to keep that same mindset.
Patrick, a couple things. Number one, it looked like after the option play, you guys came over to the bench and Coach Bieniemy was excited about that. Take us through that play with the old school option that Clyde.
Yeah, he wasn't excited. He was very upset at first. And he got over there, and we'd already talked to Clyde. I mean, obviously Clyde knew that he probably shouldn't have done it, and it's really high emphasis on the taunting right now. And he came over there, and we'd already talked to Clyde. Clyde knew, and so he started getting mad, and then we started hyping him up, and it made him start laughing. And it's hard to break him. It's hard to break with him whenever he's in that mood. But it's kind of what we do, man. We all love each other and want to be better together.
The game, I saw you down on the bench. You guys are watching Red Zone, right? It's up on the Jumbotron. You see these scores happen around the league. What does that do for you before the game to look up and you see these teams on the top of their division struggling?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's been this entire season. I mean, there's been a lot of ups and downs for everybody. We know that we have to go in with the mindset every single week if we have to be our best. And if we're not our best, we have to find a way to continue to get better and try to find a way to get a win. I think you've seen that this season. We've had games where we've put up a lot of points and played really good. We've had games that we haven't, and we still found a way to get a win. It's a team game in this sport, and it's not the same as it's been these last few years. But when you play as a team and you find a way to win these tough, adverse games, I mean, that's when you have those special teams, and I'm excited for the rest of the season. Yeah, I think when you get in those third medium areas where teams are kind of playing that man thief coverage, just finding ways to beat that. I mean, a lot of teams are playing it to us, so we have to be better there. We kind of stop the self-inflicted wounds, if it's the holding or if it's the interceptions or the fumbles or whatever that is. Whenever we don't have those, we usually drive the ball and score, or at least get in range to kick a field goal. So just execution on that part. And then finding ways to beat some coverages that have kind of given us some funks here and there throughout the season. But at least you know what they're going to play, so you can try to find a ways during this bye week.
Last one, Andrew. You talked about the lumps earlier in the year. I'm sure you saw the comments. The Chiefs are broken. Patrick Mahomes is broken. Now 4-game winning streak. You go into the bye week on the high note. What's your message to those?
Yeah, I mean, there's still a long ways to go. Obviously, I knew we were never broken as a team. We have too many good players, too many special guys on this team that go through the process, even when they're bad times or good times. But we're still early in the season. I mean, I know we've kind of gotten to that second half, but our goal is to be on top at the end of the season. It's not to win the regular season, but you have to go through that process of every single day of being better, winning that week to be a great team. And I think we're going to try to do that. And at the end of the year, we'll figure out what we need to say then.
All right, thank you.
How you guys doing, man?
Oh, QB1's looking nice tonight, huh?
Oh. Hey, Chris, big night for you sack-wise. I noticed they gave half of one to Jaron. Try to get that back from him.
Hey, what are we doing? We got to talk to the guys upstairs. You listen, I love Jared, you know what I mean? But I think I have four. I'm just throwing it out there. That's a friendly reminder. Like, let's double check. Let's watch the film again. If he earned it, I'm all for giving it to him, but I think I had four. Either way, you know, I'll sit the 3.5. But we can check the tape again, you know. Let's look at it again and make sure.
Chris, what's it like being in the past?
It's fun, man. Football is fun. Winning is fun. Having the guys, playing with those guys up front is fun. The back end played exceptional today. I think the game ball should go to the back end. They played so exceptional that they made the quarterback hold the ball, and we was able to affect the quarterback because he couldn't go to his first read. So the back end played really, really good today.
And I know you embraced the move to the outside. That was something that you wanted, but it seems like a lot of your production still come on the inside. I guess, do you sort of feel like you're playing too good on the inside to get a ton of snaps on the outside?
Just wherever Spags put me. Spags is he does his thing, man. You know, he moves me around, which I benefit off of it. So the offense just can't slide to me every series, knowing where I'm going to go. And, you know, he put me in position to make plays.
Chris, given how the season started, I mean, now all of a sudden this last month, the last 4 games, how gratifying is it for y'all as a defense to put this kind of performance against the Cowboys with three little
bye? It's never how you start, man. It's how you finish. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And you're going to go through adversity along the way. So, you know, we went through a little adversity. We had a lot of guys hurt. And we were finally building the chemistry back on this defense, getting everyone healthy, and being able to play together. You know, I think this is the first time within 4 weeks where we had all our guys healthy and able to mesh and play together. That's a huge part for us as a defense.
It seems like Frank Clark is finally healthy. You guys have Melvin in the mix. How much do you feel like you guys are feeding off each other as the game goes on?
You know, bringing Melvin in and acquiring Jay Reed this offseason has helped this D-line tremendously. You know, those two proven guys in this league that had success on the other teams, and we was fortunate enough to grab them. Beach did a heck of a job in acquiring those guys, and, you know, they can bring versatility to this defensive line. Give it to the back end and the guys around me. The guys around me, Frank Clark started it off with a sack. So they start sliding to Frank Clark and giving me the one-on-ones. And the back end, you watch the back end, how tight they was playing in coverage. Took his first option away, which forces him to hold the ball a second or two longer. And, you know, I was really able to make some plays.
This was you guys can pick up a recovery that's kind of different than what happened in Philly. Just what's the experience like? You have the ball in your hands in the middle of the field, and the option is available to you.
I had a cast on in Philly. Give me a little break, please. Hey, no, if you notice, I actually slowed down, squared up, took the squat, and then picked the ball up. I was trying to take it in. I don't think a big guy has done it in a while. You know, the back end guys, they'll take it in. They're very fast and quick. And I was looking to get a big guy celebration. You know what I mean?
Speaking of celebration, what made you pull out the stomp after the sack?
Full of excitement. Having fun. Most importantly, having fun with the guys. You know, that's what it's all about, having fun, making plays, and winning, you know?
Chris, is it sweeter to win this against a top-ranked offense? Because it seems like every week, they did it, but the Giants aren't good, or the Packers didn't have a quarterback. Does it mean more than you did it against a team that's been doing what they did?
Listen, they're going to talk about us regardless. We can beat the Cowboys. They're going to say the Cowboys is off. They had a top receiver. So every week we got something coming, but it's okay. Yeah, it's a little adversity. It's good for us. It's a challenge. You know, we listen to everything. We hear it. We still suck, you know. So, you know, we can use that as a building point, continue to build as a defense, as a team, build chemistry, and continue to put points and win.
Chris, you had mentioned that you were playing for some torn ligaments and you need your wrist. Just how, it seems like it's going well, but how's the management plan going for that, and how do you feel when you're out there?
I give all the props to the training staff, Rick Buckholder. And this group has been doing an exceptional job in making sure I'm ready to play on Sunday. The practice plan that they have for me, been protecting my wrist and making sure I don't get banged up in practice. So I give all the props to those guys, preparing me mentally and physically and being able to play on Sunday.
Chris, you talked in previous years about maybe winning the SAC title or being the best player of the year. What's the goal of this year?
Doing whatever I can to help this defense succeed, putting your personal goals aside and being more so of a leader, you know. My personal goal is always to win the SEC title and be the best player I can be for this defense, but most importantly, being the best player I can be for the defense, if you get it.
Chris, I know you always have fun trying to football, but how much fun is it right now when you're having a stretch like this and even playing so well than say maybe it was 6 weeks?
Listen, we knew it was going to mesh together. We had a few rough weeks, a lot of guys injured. We wasn't clicking together. We got a lot of new guys on the defense, offense, both sides of the ball. So it was kind of new for us. Me and Frank didn't play together to probably week 4, week 5, you know what I mean? So you take everything into consideration, you know, and we were still able to compete. We were still competing at a high level and coming down to last possession of game. So to have everyone back, to continue to build that chemistry, and I think it's a huge part of success for us right now.
Chris, I wonder how close you were to knowing, and Tyron, I guess, was not close to playing in the play, right? He had his knee swollen up. Were you aware of that before the game, or what kind of message does that send to the rest of you guys that he gutted it out to play today?
Yeah, I found out during walkout, you know, the defense was walking out, and it was like, you're walking last. I'm like, no, I'm not. And then, you know, T5, he's the guy that goes last, and it was like, yeah, Tyron is questionable. I was like, what's wrong? And they told me. So the warrior T5 is, I knew he was going to have to play. He's such a warrior, and he wasn't going to miss this game. That's one thing I know about T5. He's a competitor at the highest level. He loves to compete. He loves especially these type of games and these situations. T5 want to be on the field, and I knew it was a high probability. He was going to try to play. He was going to play. He wasn't going
to
sit it out. Yeah, for the starting lineup, because he didn't go out, and it caught me off guard, so I kind of knew then that was a problem, but first play, he was out there, so that's just the willpower of T5. He's probably battling something right now, and in his mind, he blocks it out, still being able to compete for this defense.
Last one there. First,
3 of the next 4 games at home, the next 3 games are just a big one out there. Going up to the bottom, what did the 4-6 score, one of the
I think more so take advantage of this time off, watch a little film, take a break also, but also stay engaged. watch who you're with, make sure you don't put yourself or the team in a bad situation. And if you're going through something, make sure you're taking this time to get healthy, most importantly. All right, guys, y'all take care. I need some chips, my bad.
I would say first 3 weeks, really not walking that great. And then just with the MCL, just kind of being the MCL, being that vascular kind of, at one point it just kind of continuously got better each and every day. From dry needling to cupping to massages to, I mean, you name it, I probably did it for the knee. So, and then just with the MCL, everybody knows MCLs connect to the hamstring, ended up having like a couple hamstring problems. So it's not just one thing I was dealing with. It was like multiple things throughout the 5 weeks.
When you went down, it seemed like you thought that injury was pretty serious. Did you fear the worst at that point?
You know, I would say I'm more on the flexible end, and I been in some bad, you know, some bad tie-ups, and a lot of people probably wouldn't be standing here if they was in the same things that I was. So it's initially just kind of feeling it, I knew it wasn't the best. And I mean, who wants to be hurt when this is literally what I do every day, Monday through Sunday, bro? So it wasn't, you know, it's not just, oh, I'm done for the time. It's, well, damn, I do this every day and I can't do it anymore. So I'm frustrated, and that's just what it was.
How would you evaluate your performance tonight? Feeling rough, or
were you able to decide right now? Nah, felt good, bro. Felt like, and I mean, y'all watched the game, and I was in the game, but as far as being in the game and being in my helmet, I feel good.
I'm pretty sure you were surprised he didn't taunt him, but you can't point, right?
Obviously.
Take us through that, and then coming back over the sideline and dealing with the push
again. I mean, nothing to really talk through. It was Pat pitched it. I, you know, showing my personality. That's what we talk about, being me, playing football, man. And that's just what it is. You get the taunt penalty, it's 15 yards. You know, take it with a grain of salt at the time. Go to the next play, but, you know, kicks a 48-yard field goal, extra point, and we make it happen. It's on to the next play. And then, you know, thing on the sideline is it's EB. I mean, it's just one of those things. You got to be a real strong-minded player to play for EB, and a lot of people wouldn't be able to. So, I mean, I just went to the sideline knowing that I was going to hear him. Kind of been playing for him, so I know. And then, you know, here comes TK and here comes the offense right behind me. So it's more than just, you know, the things that y'all see. It's a brotherhood. It's, you know, me and EB going back and forth one-on-one. It's, you know, I could buy EB a pair of shoes, and then we arguing about the color. And, like, literally, like, that's the things that go on, you know, throughout the week. And it's a relationship, you know, and everybody, you know, sees one thing, but, you know, it's one thing when it's just us. And just, the, you know, the crowd being there is kind of the crowd. But once we're on that field, man, it's kind of like a family-oriented thing. So that's why I ended up being yelling, mosh pit, laughing. So it was pretty cool.
Why, this is the second time in your career where it seemed like you were really hitting your stride and then you suffered the injury. I was just wondering how you pushed through maybe some of the mental frustration of, like, this is happening to me again. How do I kind of get through this?
It's hard. It's being a young player, man, and really, I just vividly remember telling my brother, I'm like, every time I hit my stride, bro, it just seemed like, you know, something happening. And, you know, then you got, you know, media saying whatever. But, and then it's kind of just like, bro, you're in a position that you're supposed to be in. And then, you know, just whatever happens on the field, it happens. You can't sit there and dwell on it. Now, at the time, like, everybody's going to tell you, oh, man, you can't be mad, or, you know, do this and do that. But, I mean, yeah, you're frustrated, you're mad, you want to play ball. Like I was telling them, I'm like, man, I do this 7 days a week. Like, I go to the facility every day. And then when somebody tells you that you can't go do that, it's frustrating. But you have to figure out another way to try to, you know, get that fixed. So now it was, okay, I can't do that, so I need to try to figure out, go deeper in film. Mental reps as far as watching practice. I need to, you know, mentally trick myself as far as tell my body that I'm doing it when I'm really not. And that's what makes you a pro. That's what sets me, you know, that's what sets me apart from the next person. Everybody can't say they put as much work as I did when I was hurt.
comparable to the next person, and everybody can speak for themselves, but, you know, I'm me, and that's just what it is.
So it was your brother that you talked to?
Yeah, yeah, my older brother.
I saw some of the tweets that you sent out, kind of going back and forth with Darryl, especially after his catch last week. What's kind of that brotherhood like in that relationship, like, especially when you were down and he was up, kind of going back and forth?
Man, it's, you know, just to say it's a brotherhood, it's kind of like just like that icing word. Literally, dirt is one of the, you know, probably one of the reasons why I'm standing in this position. Just even when I got to LSU, just understanding defenses, understanding just little things. On the field, off the field, learning stuff back in Louisiana. So it's not just, oh, I'm with him. He's my, you know, that's my boy, and he makes things work for me, and he makes everything easy. It's, you know, he's pretty much since it was time to really make things work, he's since college, man. Since freshman year of college, first day walked in, he took me under his wing, and that's just what it was. And when I got drafted here, man, I was like, it's a blessing in disguise. Just knowing that it's going to be those times that, unfortunately, that I was hurt. You're going to have guys like Dirk calling you, making sure you're doing the right thing off the field, making sure you're doing the right thing when it's, you know, we were at practice, and it's, you know, what you did, you know, when we were at practice, and how did you get it done? And it might not be exactly like a coach. It's, you know, it's more like an older brother, and that's just what it was. And our relationship is, you know, a lot different from what I would say. You know, people see tweets and everything, but literally, man, it's, you know, from the time that I was scholarship check, not touching in college, he was making ends meet, bro. So it's different with me and Dirty.
When did you know that
playing today,
good to go, and as good as
we
look, was there any thought process, well, you got the bye week,
a
whole week to recover, to just wait until after the bye week to come back?
Yeah, that was pretty much the whole week. And when you start telling the competitor, you know, hey, man, you've been on the field, you look good. Oh, man, you did that move, you look good. And you start, and then that person starts to feel good at practice, and he's getting starting reps and rolling. It's kind of hard to tell him, you know, that hey, you're not playing at all. You're just going to have to wait till after the bye week. That's Coach Reed doesn't roll like that. And, you know, if you're going to go out and practice, you're either going to practice full or you're going to go into rehab. And it's as simple as that.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Bang. Appreciate y'all.
Support for this show comes from Fundrise. Buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its billion-dollar real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes, and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/fox. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.
Support for this show comes from Vanta. Dealing with loads of spreadsheets, juggling different tools, and having to do manual security checks, it can be a headache to keep up with today's compliance and security programs. Vanta is the trust management platform that wants to simplify things and bring all your trust-building efforts under one roof, making growth smoother for your whole organization. Vanta lets you automate up to 90% of compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, HIPAA, and more. Strengthen security posture and reduce third-party risk. Get $1,000 off Vanta when you go to vanta.com/vox. That's VANTA.com/vox for $1,000 off Vanta.